You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Cinco de Mayo 2020, Mayfield, Cinco de Mayo. Go to your local Mexican restaurant, have a tequila. No, it's probably not going to be open. Well, find a way to have a tequila. I'm in favor of that to begin with. All right, we continue to see gradually, step by step, decisions to reopen our economy, our nation, various businesses moving forward as they are allowed. And even though some businesses are allowed and some states and areas, they aren't necessarily opening up. That's their decision. And, of course, we continue to see the suffering across the nation from Americans who have had their income totally wrecked, revenue wrecked, and yet the bills are still there and keep coming. The point being, every time someone shouts, open up the country, we've done this, let's move forward now. Others will say, yeah, but you'll have a death. And we are going to have more deaths. But the point is it going to be simply because we're reopening? Or is it because we're killing people in the sense of shutting down the economy? This has been a balancing act from the beginning. And there was a report out of the White House issued by the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation at the University of Washington School of Medicine, now projecting 134 coronavirus-related fatalities, up from a previous prediction of 72,000. And you factor in the margin of error, that's all over the board. New prediction ranging from 95,000 to 243,000. And others are saying, and in fact, there's an editorial in the Wall Street Journal today, basically, stop the strict lockdown and begin to target only the vulnerable. See, I think that's where the key is going to be going forward. It will be individual-type situation. It will be facility-type if it involves nursing homes, care for the elderly. But the rest of the nation can begin to open up and needs to. And when we begin to see a death after any opening, be aware of lies and fake news that will follow as it's turned into political fodder. Where do we stand now? Worldwide infections, 3.6 million. Deaths, 253,000. In the U.S., 1.2 million on infections. Deaths just under 70,000. So if we're going to start opening things up, and if we're going to start changing some restrictions, what do you think about this rule in Kansas City? That they're saying if you're going to go to your church, if you're going to go into your church, they want you to register. You got to put your name down. You have to register your name to go to your church. We'll get into that, and Hans von Spakovsky will join us later in the next 2 hours on First Amendment rights at stake, Bill of Rights being bent, if not trampled on, if not shredded in some cases. And then you've got all these mask rules, some of them being challenged. Can you force the public to wear a mask all the time and threaten them with jail otherwise? Do you want to tie up your police on that? Or can you tell the businesses, you and your employees should do it, and then you've got to just deal with the customers. And in the midst of all of this, we still have the Biden story hovering over everything. The Democrats are glad every day we don't spend any time on the Biden story. And in fact, a new survey shows why. 61% of Democrats believe Biden over Reid, Tara Reid, in her allegations. 61%, a Morning Consult poll. And then, part of the story includes 25% of the Democrats, 25% of the Democrats surveyed want some new nominee. They want someone other than Biden. Right out of the mouth of the Democrats. Michelle Obama. There's a movement afoot. There is a movement afoot, and watch it probably push to gain steam. We'll break it all down for you. We've got a lot to cover the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
COVID-19, coronavirus, is real. But despite all the hype, the fake news, there's no need to panic. Still, you want your environment safe for customers, employees, family. What can be done? How much would it cost? Who to trust? I can tell you, Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental would determine the best way to protect against COVID-19. Wellington Environmental can do it at a very reasonable cost. When it comes to trust, for more than 30 years, Wellington Environmental has been working with hospitals, nursing homes, universities, schools, even private homes. You don't last more than 30 years if you're not doing an excellent job. COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has the experience to give you peace of mind. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
It was 1989. My thoughts were short. My hair was long. Caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. Summertime in northern Michigan.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, here's your red meat for you and the lion. The red meat we began with is Michelle Obama into the race in place of Biden, or at least second on the ticket. You think that's an impossibility? Or do you think that was part of what was happening from the very beginning? You know, we often have Dr. Gerard Lamero on board, and he does a lot of political model forecast. And he's been saying for some time, in his opinion, Biden is nothing more than a placeholder. And he does admit he had originally thought Sanders was going to be the Democrat nominee, but he said that apparently near the end you had the Democrat base power brokers come in and shut Sanders out again. And then you got the sexual revelation, the allegations that came out from Tara Reid against Biden, and now things are back in play again. Now, Michelle Obama has said, I don't want it, not interested, goodbye, thank you very much. That's what she says. There is a newly launched committee called Draft Michelle Obama. It is pushing for Joe Biden to select the former first lady as his running mate. So they're not flat out saying push Joe out of the way for Michelle, but they're trying to figure a way to energize the ticket. No one is interested in really wanting to vote for Joe Biden, not even the Democrats. I just read that report to you a moment ago from the new Morning Consult poll. While 61% of the Democrats surveyed believe Joe Biden on his denial of the allegations of Tara Reid. See, in this case, do not believe the woman, because the woman is attacking a liberal. Do not believe her, even though she's also a Democrat. Do not believe her. And 61% surveyed say, yes, we do take and believe the word of Joe Biden over Tara Reid. But again, within that poll, 25% of the Democrats said they want a new nominee. Now, this pack that's being put together is not flat saying dump Biden. No, it's draft Michelle for his running mate. The campaign stating Joe Biden has said he would choose Michelle Obama as his running mate in a heartbeat, which he has said. And now they're pushing for it. Let's say let's get some things going. The statement adding, the committee to draft Michelle Obama firmly believes that Ms. Obama will not only benefit the Democrat ticket this November, but also help lead this country to be more just and caring. However strongly we support Ms. Obama as Vice President Biden's running mate, we will transfer our resolve to whoever joins the ticket to defeat the most dangerous incumbent in the history of our nation. That's a direct swipe at, let me see. Oh, yeah, Donald Trump. So Biden had said, in an April interview, he said, I would take Michelle in a heartbeat. And a lot of Democrats are saying, yes, take her in that heartbeat, and the second heartbeat you can stop and we'll let Michelle take over. Yeah. But he said, she is brilliant. She knows the way around. She's really a fine woman. There's really no enthusiasm for Joe Biden. Michelle would get that up. And Michelle issued a statement the other day, referenced the 2016 election. And she was talking in advance of this Netflix documentary coming out, Becoming, built around her book, chronicling her 34-city book tour by the same name. Netflix just happened to come out with this. I think it may be released as early as tomorrow. But they're releasing this, just happened to be releasing it at this point to draw more attention to Michelle Obama. And Michelle, in talking about the Netflix piece coming out and as to what happened in the last election, conceded there are certain people that are responsible for Trump winning in 2016. It's not those who voted for him. She's not giving them credit. What she is challenging, dissing members of the Democrat Party. She believes who sat it out. And she said, that's what's upset me. The day I left the White House, and I write about how painful it was to sit on that inauguration stage, a lot of our folks didn't vote. It was almost like a slap in the face. You remember the day of the inauguration? Do you remember seeing her out there? She was not a happy-looking woman. I'm sure Obama wasn't happy either. But he put on a better face than she did. She was, I thought, in my opinion, and that's personal, she looked PO'd. Well, there's a tight smile to Melania and tight smile to the camera, but not really. So in this discussion about the previous election, she said, I understand the people who voted for Trump. The people who didn't vote at all. The young people, the women. That's when you think, man, people think this is a game. She said, every time, every midterm, every time Barack didn't get the Congress he needed, that was because our folks didn't show up. After all that work, they just couldn't be bothered to vote at all, and that's my trauma. So she is saying Democrats failed to show up, which we agree with, last time, because if they had shown up in bigger numbers, and she's blaming particularly women, and within that also black Americans, that they thought would once again show up, they didn't, and she's blaming them for Trump getting elected, not giving you credit, and certainly not giving any blame to Hillary Clinton as the other candidate. So we will have to watch that as it moves forward. And, of course, as we're dealing with right now, is the handling of the pandemic will probably come into play at some point in the election debate going forward between Trump and whomever it comes out of the Democrat convention. And how Trump has handled all of this will obviously be an issue, as is the economy. And the economy was cooking along just great till this hit. I saw somebody the other day on a Facebook account say, my 401k has gone to hell. Thanks, Trump. Trump had nothing to do with it going to hell. He brought it up. It went to hell when we began to shut down the nation. But at that time, the information he was getting and the decision he was making is that that was the best. And there's no doubt in my mind, and I think there's no doubt in general, that some of the distancing orders, some of the shutdowns did help slow it. Maybe, okay, but at what point do you say enough, open back up? And we've seen some draconian measures issued by various leaders across the nation, imposing rules and mandates that you're thinking, what? And I'll get to one of them in a moment. But the nation as a whole, when it was cooking along so well, severely crippled. Trump just today said, we're going to get the economy back. It's going to be bigger and better before. Well, that, I'm sure we will, but it will take some time. It will not happen overnight. And as some of these businesses began to reopen, we will see additional deaths. And I regret to tell you that some liberals will be rushing forward, waving those obituaries and saying, see, this is because you opened up too soon. You cannot expect, of course, any legitimate reporting when it comes to anything that could be used as a political weapon at this point. But Dr. Scott Atlas, previously the Stanford Medical Center, now the Hoover Institution, says if those folks coming forward as soon as a business opens and they start pinning any additional deaths on the newly opened business, he said, it's wrong.
If you open the doors today and you have deaths in 3 days, that's just, there's no correlation there. It takes 23 to 30 days on roughly average to have somebody from getting the infection to dying. When the number of deaths goes up in 3 days and the state opened their doors, there's no correlation whatsoever. That's just a false conclusion to be made.
You're going to hear more from Dr. Atlas later this hour talking about how some of these models, as I alluded in the monologue, are going to be way, way off. I mean, as I said, the model that just got released out of the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation, University of Washington School of Medicine, projecting now at 134,000 coronavirus-related fatalities. I'm looking over the past seasons on estimated influenza disease and looking at the bi-season 2010 through 2019 influenza seasons. We've had three different years around the 50,000 mark. A couple at 60,000. We had one in 2017-18. Estimated deaths blamed on influenza, 46,000 up to 95,000, that being the highest. And we're told that this basically, if it comes back again, despite all of our efforts now, if it hits when we actually had the flu and the influenza season underway, it will be harder and tougher. But it also gets back down to, well, who's probably going to be more affected? Same category we've been seeing, the very, very young, certainly the vulnerable, those with weight, diabetes issues, the elderly, and by elderly, I mean those probably most often in a nursing facility or close to it. It doesn't mean it won't hit those in between, but do you shut down the nation forever, forever, because you will see additional death counts to that extent? Now, of course, it's one thing to take the attitude that I want to get everything opened up. But then if one of your loved ones comes down with COVID-19 because they went in to get a hair appointment or they went to eat at a restaurant and not 2 or 3 days later, as you just heard Dr. Atlas say, maybe a couple of weeks later, suddenly they are diagnosed with it and it turns fatal, then some folks will be saying, well, maybe it was too soon. But when would be an opportune time? Wearing masks, continuing, that's probably a good idea in some cases. Mandated, that's another issue. We've seen numerous protests in Michigan. They did it again in Boston yesterday, pushing that governor, who's a Republican, to reopen that state's economy. These protesters on the streets of Boston, signs reading, "In the shutdown, tyranny is not leadership." And again, this is a Republican, and they say he's got to open up the economy. One of the rally websites says Americans are suffering due to unprecedented economic shutdown imposed by the government as response to COVID-19. The governor says he's speaking with his leaders and experts trying to reopen his state May 18. And then we've got the story out of Kansas City I want to share with you in case you hadn't heard it. They have opened up, effective today, Kansas City, depending upon certain rules. And one of them, folks are saying, you're asking churches to spy and report on those attending religious services. We'll tell you what's in place, and you decide, is that the intent or not?
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So the Kansas City Mayor, Quentin Lucas, has issued what he calls a 10-10-10 rule in effect today. Non-essential businesses, churches, they can start opening up. They can have 10 people inside, 10, and 50 outside as long as they practice social distancing. And they must also record information of anyone who spends more than 10 minutes inside. Non-essential business can operate at 10% maximum capacity. That's the 10-10-10 thing. Now, here's the kicker in the process. A conservative law firm is acknowledging this new order in Kansas City, Missouri. And then it talks about how the churches are also supposed to list those who attend a church service. Now, the mayor says our goal is not to see what everyone is doing and be Big Brother. But that's not how this conservative law firm and others in the community are seeing it. They're saying if you are going to have churches, write down the names of those attending, then you're opening up, as one of them said, Nazi-like requirements to surveil, track, and spy on those who attend in-person religious services. Getting their information. One of the founder of the Liberty Council, a nonprofit defending churches amid these orders, saying they're targeting people. You have to give them your name, contact information as a prerequisite. What did they start doing in Nazi Germany? They started targeting people. They started to collect their names, their data, so they knew who they were and where they've been. Attorney General Barr's Justice Department has been looking into that matter. The DOJ did recently side with a Virginia church suing Virginia Governor Ralph Northam when police threatened a pastor with jail time or a $2,500 fine for violating an executive order and holding a 10-person church service on Palm Sunday. There is a line here again. If you're tracking a disease, it does pay and make it easier to track it down if you have the identity of someone and their address. We've been doing that for decades on various diseases and, of course, venereal disease being an example. But now in this case, saying, I think what we're going to do is you go to your church or your, it doesn't say mosque or synagogue, but I assume it's to be applied the same. We're going to have you register. That's going to be a pretty sticky point as they move forward. The other thing being, where's the number, the magic 10? Where did that originate, 10? The idea is you open your sanctuary and come in as long as you keep your distance. But they set the number 10, and they say in Kansas City, you have to register if you're going to attend. All right, we continue to look at money as trying to save the nation and obviously need it for some businesses. But Democrats are looking at it as another opportunity to push socialism. And here comes another one offering an idea that give Americans $2,000 per month. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So, as we were talking about earlier, you've got a report that came out yesterday, and President Trump had referred to it Sunday night on his town hall meeting, as he did on Fox News at the time, talking about a new model, and he said it's very troubling, maybe 70,000 plus dead from coronavirus, or he said more than 72,000, new model showing more than 72,000 from the coronavirus. He's referencing that University of Washington School of Medicine report from the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation projecting 134,000, up from a previous prediction of 72. And some push it even higher. Say it could be as high as 240,000. That's how many will die from the virus in the U.S. by August, primarily, and here's the key, primarily because states are reopening too soon. In fact, the director of that report said the primary reason for the increase is many states, quote, premature relaxation of social distancing. Well, that's enough to make a governor be concerned about, well, I don't want to do this too soon. And the other thing about businesses that are looking at what kind of liability protection do we have. If we open our business, even if the governor says we can, somebody comes in and 2-3 weeks later, they claim they got coronavirus because they attended our restaurant. Of course, it may be a proof issue at that point, but businesses are worried about the liability issue. States are worried about the liability issue. And yet on the balance, on the other side, we've got Dr. Scott Atlas, previously Stanford University, now the Hoover Institute. He published a piece in The Hill. Let me see the date on this. This was actually the 22nd of April. And the title was, "The Data is In. Stop the Panic, End the Total Isolation." He said that back on April 22nd. Well, he was being questioned on one news program about these new models out. This new one just cited that I gave you then. Does that change your opinion that we can't stop the panic?
Nothing has changed here. We should look at the evidence. We don't need to rely on hypothetical projections. We have a ton of evidence, and the evidence is consistent all over the world that we know the fatality rate is much lower than what the models were based on originally. We know that we have flattened, the curves have been flattened, and the curves to note are not the numbers of cases. The only curves that count are the deaths per day and the hospitalizations per day. And when you take all that into account, including the very important things that are catastrophically destructive about total isolation, you come to the same conclusion that I and many, many people all over the world support.
And there is a recent Stanford University antibody study estimating the fatality rate if infected is likely 0.1 to 0.2%, far, far lower than what the World Health Organization was estimating. In fact, it was looking at 20 to 30 times higher. New York City, an epicenter of the pandemic, more than a third of the U.S. deaths. The rate of death for people 18 to 45 is 0.01%, or 10 per 100,000. Now, those 75 and older, a death rate 80 times that. And for under 18, the rate of death is 0 per 100,000, which brings us to the schools issue. But again, as you heard from Dr. Atlas at the beginning of this hour, if we begin to open up, if we open up certain businesses, the states say, okay, you can open, you can do this, and the businesses begin. Even if they're following a prescribed no more than 10 customers at a time in your store, no more than you got to open your restaurant, but you can only seat maybe a third of what you normally would. Restaurants have to decide, can I support? Is it worth it to operate with only a third of the clientele to be allowed to have in? But also realizing if we exceed that, are we going to be blamed for any deaths? Because no doubt there will be those coming forward as additional deaths occur as we open up. They will, as I said earlier, be waving obituaries and saying, see, this is what happened. Now, you heard from Dr. Atlas on this point earlier, but I'd like you to hear that point again.
If you open the doors today and you have deaths in 3 days, That's just, there's no correlation there. It takes 23 to 30 days on roughly average to have somebody from getting the infection to dying. When the number of deaths goes up in 3 days and the state opened their doors, there's no correlation whatsoever. That's just a false conclusion to be made.
And again, his point being, the data shows us where we should be putting our efforts, especially at this point. As he said, stop the panic, end the total isolation. In other words, deal with those that we know are vulnerable.
For other people who are in the older, you know, chronic disease, and we're really talking about obesity and diabetes as the top two underlying conditions, by the way. The older people like that, we have already learned as a society, as everyone has, how to appropriately use hygiene, social distancing in people who are vulnerable, and we should be warning them about things. That's very different from ordering them to be legally confined indoors. So, I mean, there are certain settings where we have to be very strict, and this is the nursing homes in particular, and that should be very doable.
Otherwise, open up the nation. These protesters in the streets and in the Capitol buildings across the nation, they're not doing it just for the fun of it. They're doing it because they're in desperate, dire straits, on the verge of either losing a business and or their home they're fearing now, or where they've got to pay rent. because they don't have a job, or their business had to be shut down, or they've got to get it back up so they can get some kind of income in. In fact, if they had jobs and their income was clicking along, they weren't going to be in the streets protesting because they've got a JLB. They've got to be busy with it. And also dealing with the schools. We know that we're going to have to open schools if we're going to open up jobs and opportunities for adults to go back to earning a living or opening their business. Children cannot be left at home alone if there's no one there normally, and if you don't have daycare center facilities open. And Dr. Atlas has his own view about schools. He said there's no reason to keep schools closed. He said, we know it's factually true, proven all over the world, that those under 18 have very little, if any, risk of a serious illness and essentially no risk of dying. There's no reason to separate the people in the age groups 0 to 18 6 feet apart. No scientific evidence to do that. No evidence really whatsoever to continue to have these schools closed. Again, that's one opinion. Dr. Atlas with the Hoover Institute, previously at Stanford University. And that's a quandary for all of us, isn't it? Because there are experts on both sides giving different information sometimes. Sometimes they find a common point. Sometimes they're not that far apart. Sometimes they're radical because we continue to have schools closed. We've got governors deciding across their state we won't open the school district the rest of the year. But Dr. Atlas, saying stop the panic, says there's no reason to do that. Especially if you're going to start, as we should, start opening up businesses. And, of course, all of this is giving the socialists an opportunity to push for a new agenda to reconfigure the nation. Because every foothold they can make, every move they can make to begin to make the nation more national, and the American public relying on the national tip, then they have a chance to move toward socialism. And here comes Congressman Tim Ryan, Democrat of Ohio. He's saying it's not enough money out there right now to stabilize the economy. The only way to do this, because folks are paying mortgage, credit cards, personal loans, is $2,000 a month to most Americans until the crisis begins to fade. Now, he's saying until it fades, but sometimes that starts that way and it moves on. I could use another $2,000 a month. How about you? And there are a lot of folks out there that, yeah, that's obviously it sounds good because they got nothing coming in, and it's understandable. Last month, Ryan and fellow Congressman Kahana of Democratic California came up with what they called the Emergency Money for People Act, distributing payments to every American age 16 or older if they earn less than $130,000 a year. It all sounds good. I mean, we want Americans to thrive and survive, but and we've already given out one stimulus package like that to some extent. There may have to be another, but we have to caution. We have to be flashing a yellow light saying, be careful. You're on the road to closer to socializing the nation. We don't need private enterprise. The government will send you the money, and you do what we tell you to. Oh, you talk about a socialist situation. Wait, do you hear what's happening in Russia with the virus? Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Yeah.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Before I get to Russia, I want to tell you in San Francisco what they've done. The police chief. He sent a message to his officers. You can no longer wear those face masks for your protection from virus. It's not a face mask that he's complaining about in the sense that he doesn't want them to wear anything. He's just saying you cannot wear that one. It's an American flag divided by a blue stripe in the center. The thin blue line. The police officers in San Francisco were all wearing these masks. And the thin blue line is, of course, what we look at as standing between us and the thugs, the criminals. Well, here came those on the left complaining, of course, in San Francisco. Pushing and saying, this is disrespectful. It's intimidating and divisive. The police chief says, I see it as a meaningful expression to honor fallen officers, but of course, the leftists are going to win out in San Francisco. It all started when the officers started wearing that May 1. And here come others saying, that's offensive to me. These are guys in a police uniform. And they're wearing a mask that just simply promotes thin blue line on it, honoring fallen police officers. See, that's what happens. You start letting the left get more and more control, and in that area, they've got it. So they cannot wear anything like that. All right, I told you I'd talk about Russia and what's happening there. They are having a major outbreak of the coronavirus. They've got something like about 135,000 recorded cases, and they had the other day 10,000 cases, a single day jump of 10,000, and they're about now seventh in the world on the number of infections. And most of the, not most, but at least 3,000 appear to be in the Russian military. So they're looking at that situation. And coronavirus in Russia, well, it could make you drop dead. You could drop dead, for sure. I mean, there's clear evidence it will make you drop dead, at least in three different cases. And they're all health workers. Three different health care workers dropping dead. There's a little more to the story. They have mysteriously, and I say mysteriously, after criticizing working conditions and hospital administrators during the pandemic, they have fallen from hospital buildings. Now, I don't know how you mysteriously fall, but they did. One was a paramedic who tested positive. He fell from a second floor of a hospital. He was being treated for the infection at the hospital at the time. And he had posted online criticizing the hospital administrators for lack of personal protective equipment and making a colleague of his work while being sick. The chief doctor is forcing us to work. What do we do in this situation? Well, the answer was, I guess, jump from the building or pushed, thrown. And then you also had a interim chief physician at a hospital for war veterans in a Siberian city. She fell dead from coronavirus. And I mean, fell from her fifth floor office. She had previously complained of a shortage of personal protection gear and how the staff was generally unprepared. And prior to her call, she had apparently just gotten off a conference call with the head of a regional health ministry discussing, we're going to make your hospital into a ward to treat COVID-19 patients. And she was against the idea, said, we're not prepared, we can't take it. and then she fell from her fifth floor office. Now, would it be suicide or pushed, thrown over, or mysteriously the virus makes you think you can fly? And there was still a third, an EMS officer, the chief EMS officer at a cosmonaut training center outside Moscow, was being treated for the virus in a hospital. And for some reason, she also died, as they said, quote, as a result of an accident. I got to tell you, if you thought the things could be bad in Russia, you do not want to be getting the virus in Russia and complaining at all about it, because you might drop dead. All right, coming up in the next hour, Republicans are demanding interviews with the FBI's Priestap, the guy that was kind of behind the scenes while some of the investigations were underway into Michael Flynn. And I think we need to do that. And also Hans von Spakovsky on your rights coming up.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.